Let's take our Bibles this morning. Turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel as we continue our journey through the life of David with this thought in mind, battles of the Christian life. We know that Christians will face many battles. We know that some of those battles will be faced many times during our lives. And we know that sometimes we will have to fight many of them at the same time. Last week we said, as we were journeying through the life of David, that we will observe many of the struggles that he faced in his life and how he overcame them with God's help. And in part one, we learned about two early battles that David faced and how we can face these battles too. So last week we talked about the battle of belief and we talked about the battle of disbelief. Now, just for example, one of the ways that these are ongoing battles, we were just discussing in our devotional time this morning in our worship team meeting that, so many times we think in Christianity today that our salvation and that our belief in God is just a one-and-done thing. You know, oh, we believed, we're good to go, but we need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to be meeting with him every day. Amen? And the battle of belief is not a one-time thing. We continue to face that battle every day, as well as the disbelief of others. I want to go back to our key texts this morning, beginning with Acts 13:22, and you can see them on the screen. They're in your notes. Just to remind us what our goal is as we talk about the battles of the Christian life. We were reminded from Acts as Paul said, after removing Saul, he made David their king. God testified concerning him, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. That's our goal in these battles of the Christian life, is to be that man after, that woman after God's own heart. We find that in 1 Samuel chapter 13 as well, where Samuel told Saul that he had done a foolish thing. You have not kept the command of the Lord your God. If you had, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. But now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him ruler of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command. How many of you want a life, a legacy that says, man, I've kept the Lord's command? Amen? How many want to win those battles that we face in our life? I don't want the kingdom to be torn from my hand, so to speak. As Saul faced, he had been chosen by God, he had been set up as king, but the Bible tells us that because of his continued disobedience, God says, you're not the one. And Samuel prophesied over him and said, God has torn the kingdom from your hand. I don't want that to be the testimony of my Christian life. I want to be like David, who it was said he was a man after God's own heart. I want my goal to be that of fighting the good fight of faith. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 and 12 says, but you men of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I want to be like 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8 that says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. So let's continue to look at David's life and the battles that he faced and see how we face those same battles in our life and how we can fight that good fight and indeed be victorious. I want to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17 as we pick up the story of David this morning. And this is after he had been anointed king. This was actually after he had been in service to the king. This also is right after David had come to the battle lines we talked about last week. He saw Goliath shouting his insults at the army, saying, send out a man to fight me. David had seen all that. Word got back to Saul that David was willing to go out and fight this man. And here's what Saul said to David. 1 Samuel 17:30, verse 33. Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against the Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or bear came, carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." So David comes in and David says, "I will fight this giant." Now, they look at David and they see his small stature. They compare it to the largeness of the giant and say, "There's no way that you can do this." Now, so what is this battle that he faces at this point in his life? And I think it's already been flashed on the screen, but it's the battle of believing in yourself. The battle of believing in yourself. We fought the battle of belief and we'll continue to fight. We fight the battle of the disbelief of others, those attacks that come against us, but we also have to believe in ourselves. And really, when I say believe in yourself, I'm saying believe in the power of God that is in you. Because it's not your strength, it's God's strength. And David showed that. But we have to believe that God dwells in us and that God lives in us and that he has empowered us. We have to believe in the giftings and the callings that God has placed in our lives. Do you believe in yourself today? You should. Because if the anointing of the Holy Spirit is on you, God doesn't want you to doubt yourself. And David could have said, "Okay, yeah, you're right, I'm not capable of going out and doing this." But what did he do? He began to list. Maybe it was just as much for his hearing as it was for the hearing of those that he was speaking to. He was believing in himself. Well, there was this bear. I did that. There was this lion. I did that. And now, because of God, I can do this too. Would you believe in yourself today? Believe in yourself. Here's why. Because God believes in you. Did you know that? We doubt ourselves, but God believes in us. Here's what it says in Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16. "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." Believe in yourself because God believes in you. He made you. He created you. David says, "I can believe in myself because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made." Think about that this morning. The next time you begin to doubt yourself, if you don't believe in yourself, really what you're saying is, "I don't believe in God." Do you think God makes mistakes? He created you. Yes, there are things inside of us that need redeemed and shaped by the presence of God, but he made you. He created your mind. He created how you look. He formed you and fashioned you and God doesn't make mistakes. You are, that wasn't just for one person. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And God put every part of you together. So believe in yourself. And believe that God can work through you, because he made you to be a vessel to house his spirit. Amen? Yes. That's all David said. God's used me before. Why should I doubt myself? You're going to have to face that battle. You probably have faced that battle many times in your life. I have. But believe in yourself. And believe that God would use you, and God would call you and has called you and wants to do great and mighty things in your life. Believe in yourself, because God believes in you. Secondly, this morning, how about the battle of doing what others expect? The battle of doing what others expect. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, as this story continues, David stood up for himself. He believed in himself. And then Saul, it says, dressed David, verse 38, in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. "I cannot go in these," he said to Saul, "because I am not used to them." So he took them off. Have you ever tried to fit into somebody else's expectations? Have you ever felt like you had to? Right? That's a battle that we're going to face as believers in the Christian life. There are going to be times when other people come alongside and say, "This is what I want you to do. This is how I want you to do it. These are my expectations for you." Now, again, I'm not throwing out the need for expectations in our life. As parents, as we're raising our kids, there's expectations. As employees, there are expectations that we have to fulfill in our lives. But I'm saying in our Christian life, sometimes we face this battle of what other people want us to do. What's the problem with what other people want us to do? It may not be what God wants us to do. And it may not be the way that God wants us to do it. I've spent plenty of time in my life dealing with the expectations of others. People not understanding that, hey, God works. God works, and serving God works. I still marvel at the fact that when I went into the ministry, you know, one of the expectations was, "Look, you can't make any money doing that. You can't survive doing that." Well, I'm still here. Come on. People will tell you all the time, "Look, you got to do things this way. You got to be this kind of person." And you've got to win that battle of doing what others expect. David did. He said, "You want me to go out in your armor. You want me to try to fight the way you fight, but that's not who God made me to be. I can't be what you expect me to be. Listen to me. I need to be what God expects me to be." Don't get caught up in that, because you will spend a great deal of your life failing and feeling unsuccessful trying to fit into somebody else's mold of who you are. We can do what others expect, or we can do what God expects. In Acts chapter 5, Peter and the other apostles, the scripture says, replied, "We must obey God rather than human beings." Now, this case, it seemed like a clear choice, and there's times when this battle is a little clearer than others. The Pharisees were saying, "Stop it, don't preach anymore. You can't be that way." And they said, "Look, we can't be what you expect us to be. We've got to be what God expects us to be, and he wants us to be preaching in his name. We've got to obey God rather than men." And that choice is going to come to you in many different forms throughout your Christian life. You can either obey God or you can obey man. You can either do what man expects you to do, or you can do what God expects you to do. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 and 7, we read these words. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. When David heard those words from Saul, and listen, this wasn't an easy battle. David was facing his king. Saul was king. Saul was more experienced. Saul was older. And Saul said, this is what you should do. Anybody ever been there? When somebody more experienced says, this is the way you should do it. I'm talking about your Christian life now. And it's not that there's not wisdom out there, but David was smart enough to recognize, this isn't what God wants for me. And so he took the armor off. How difficult would it have been to stand up to Saul and say, even if you did it in a gentle way, I'm sorry, I'm not doing it your way. Because that's not what God has told me. Sometimes we just need to kindly look people in the face and say, thank you, but that's not what God has told me. I appreciate it, but that's not what the Holy Spirit has been revealing to me. Go back to verse 5, would you, Sharon? Read these words again. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh. Now you can do what man expects. Or, next verse, you can do what God expects. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. Are you confident in what God has been speaking to your heart? Are you confident in what the Holy Spirit has been revealing to you as you study his word, as you pray, as you seek wisdom from God? Are you confident in what God has been sharing? And yes, there are times we need to go out and we need other Christians to pray with us and we need to find that direction. But our confidence needs to be first and foremost in the Lord. The battle of doing what others expect. Well, David wasn't finished with battles. He deals with that. And then heads out onto the battlefield, and here's what he hears. I want to talk about the battle of disdain. Now, to disdain means to look upon or treat with contempt, despise, scorn, to think unworthy of notice, to think unworthy of response, to consider beneath oneself, a feeling of contempt for anything regarded as unworthy. There will be times in your life when you face the disdain of the enemy. Here's what David heard, 1 Samuel 17, verses 41 through 49. Meanwhile, the Philistine with his shield bearer in front of him kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. And he said to David, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Come here, he said, and I will give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals. Now that's what David heard. This disdain of the enemy that says, you're not worthy. You're not worth respect. I despise you. He's heard contempt. How many of you have heard the enemy speak with contempt, words that despise and scorn? He wants you to believe that you are unworthy. I don't know. Anybody face that battle? Yes, sometimes it comes from other people. We talked about the battle of disbelief of others. But this is when the enemy just full out comes at you and says to you, sometimes it's your own mind saying this to you, you're not worthy. You're not worthy. You're not worthy. We need to fight that battle. He wants to disengage. He wants us to disengage from the battle, listen to me, before it even begins. How different things would have turned out if David would have heard those words of disdain, turned around, and walked off the battlefield. What would we be reading in our scripture today? Not the story of a young man who rose to become king. Rather, it would be the story of an enemy who was victorious because no one dare engage him in battle. The enemy wants you to believe that you are worthless, that you are not worthy. He wants you to believe that those words of scorn and contempt and disdain are true, so that you will turn around and walk off the battlefield. And here's why. Because he knows how really special you are. The enemy is afraid of any believer who is filled with the Spirit of God. He knows those words aren't true. Problem is, we don't know that those words aren't true. We don't believe that those words aren't true. And we got to fight that battle. So, what does David do? David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." He goes on to say, "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcass of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And all those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into your hands." As the Philistine moved closer to attack David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him, and reaching into his bag, taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead, and the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. Now, we'll get to the rest of that in just a minute, but I want to talk about that battle of disdain for just a moment longer today. Hebrews 10:10 says this in verse 14. "And by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. For by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy." When the enemy comes against you with those words of disdain, contempt and scorn, and says you are unworthy, I want you to remember what Jesus has done for us. He has made you worthy. The enemy knows that. Frankly, he's frightened of you rising up and taking your mantle and doing what God has anointed you to do. And so he would rather speak these words to scare you and keep you off of his battlefield so that he can do what he wants to do. We've got to fight feeling unworthy by knowing that we have been made worthy through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? It's not whether or not I'm worthy. It's the fact that Jesus has made me worthy. Yes, if I'm looking at myself and not factoring in what Jesus has done for me, I'm unworthy. But when I remember and when I, by faith, take into account that he has already made me worthy, the Bible says, once for all, by that one sacrifice, listen to this. It's an interesting way to phrase it. He said, once for all, for by one sacrifice he has made perfect those who are being made holy. Now there's two different tenses there, are there not? He says, I'm not great in grammar, but he says, past tense, he has made perfect. That means it's already been done, right? And then he uses this present ongoing tense, those who are being made holy. An interesting way to say that. So in one little verse, Paul gives a whole lot of theology in here that we don't even have time to go into this morning. But basically he's saying, look, you are worthy. Because of what Christ has done, he's already made you perfect. In the eyes of God, you have been made perfect through what Jesus has done for you. And yes, there is an ongoing process of making you holy, right? That's playing out in our everyday life. That's why we can look at somebody like David and say, this was a man who was after God's own heart. Because on the one hand, he had a relationship with God that caused him to be worthy. On the other hand, he was still working out his salvation with fear and trembling. Amen? He was still being formed and fashioned in this life, being made into the image of the one that God wanted him to be. But when we face the words of the disdain of the enemy, here's the key that I want you to get this morning. Don't focus on the present tense. Focus on the past tense of what has already been done for you in Christ Jesus. When you come against that disdain, you come against it with the perfection that Christ has already completed on your behalf. We don't stand and argue with the enemy based on who I am in the present. Because if you look at my life, there's still a whole lot of work that needs to be done. How about you? So I have no basis of argument. But if I stand in the past tense of what Christ has done for me on the cross, I say, I am worthy because he is worthy. And he made me worthy. The battle of disdain. Let's keep going this morning. See, you thought there was only a couple battles David faced in his life. All of these that we've talked about so far have taken place in a relatively short period of time in his life. And they're battles that he would fight again. And you will too. You're not going to fight the battle of disdain just once in your Christian life. You're going to fight it many times. There are going to be days when the enemy comes against you and he does his best to try to make you feel worthless and unworthy. How about this battle? How about Goliath battles? Now, here I'm talking about huge obstacles that stand in our way and that seem impossible to overcome. That's a Goliath battle. Huge obstacles that stand in our way that seem impossible to overcome. All of us as believers are going to face some battles in our lives that are huge, they stand in our way, and they seem absolutely impossible to overcome. Now, for you, that may be a health issue. That may be an issue of finances or an issue of provision. That may be an issue of a prayer that you have been praying for many years and it still hasn't come to pass. Maybe a relational one. It can be all kinds of things. It can be things like cancer. For some people, it's a battle of depression. But whatever that battle is, for some people, it's other people. Dawn faced a Goliath battle just in these last 18 months. How do I transition my ministry from Wycliffe Associates to Wycliffe and raise this budget that is way more than the budget I had last time? How do I fight that Goliath battle when there is no denominational resources to go to? I'm not a pastor. Where do I go? How do I get that support? That's a Goliath battle. Some of you are facing Goliath battles. George, I think you face a Goliath battle. You face many of them. But I don't know why your body keeps producing those stones and has for years. And every week he's got to deal with kidney stones. Every week. But that's a Goliath battle. A huge obstacle that stands in our way that seems impossible to overcome. Kay's husband, Dutch, is facing a Goliath battle. Esophageal cancer. That's huge. Goes in to get checked, and it's not, it's even more advanced than they thought it was initially. Is that correct, Kay? That's a Goliath battle. And many of you have your own Goliaths that are standing in your way, and they're taunting you. We read those verses, 1 Samuel chapter 17, but I want you to see it again. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." Now, there's two quick things I want you to recognize here. Number one, David doesn't play this game of denial. I know there are those out there that would preach, you know, you just, if you don't say anything, if you don't speak it, you know, don't name it, don't bring it into your life, then it's okay. David didn't play that game. The battle was real. Goliath was real. Okay? And just ignoring something, sweeping it under the rug, not talking about it, refusing to let anybody bring up the subject because you think that's going to somehow curse you and bring it more upon your life, that's ridiculous. Goliaths are real. And they have real weapons that can do real damage to your life. Physically, spiritually, and emotionally. So just playing this game of denial isn't going to work. So he calls it out. What David does is he says, "I get it. You're there. And you have a pretty big sword. A pretty big spear." And the Bible tells us just how big those things were. These weren't normal sized. This wasn't what a regular man would carry. I'm sure it was all David could do when he when he went over to that giant after he had fallen to pick up that sword with both hands and all of his strength just to lift it up enough to be able to cut off his head. That was huge. Can you imagine the damage that could have done? David doesn't deny that. And I would suggest to you, don't deny the Goliaths that you face in your life. On the other hand, quickly turn your attention off of them and on to God. Because what David does is he says, look, you're big. I love the VeggieTales song. You're big, but my God is bigger. Anybody know that VeggieTales song? Nobody know? You guys have got to watch VeggieTales. There are important theological truths that you will learn if you watch VeggieTales. Amen. You're big, God's bigger, and he is. And the point is, we don't keep our focus on those things, those Goliaths and their weapons. We put our focus immediately on God and how big he is. And hear what David says. He says, I come against you. And he doesn't say, I come against you with all of the knowledge and strength that I have amassed in my however old he was at that time, which wasn't very old. I come against you because I've been a shepherd and I killed that bear and that lion. No, he stands in the strength of God. And he says, I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Then let's put this battle where it needs to be. And the fact is that this battle is God's battle. Your Goliath is God's problem, not yours. I'll say it again. Your Goliath is God's problem, not yours. And so put it in God's court. So David does. Keep going. This day, what does he declare? By faith, he says, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. Not I'm going to do this, but the Lord's going to do this. And I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcass of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And all those gathered here will know. Look at this. The glory is God's. The reason there are Goliaths in your life is so that God can get even more glory. And every Goliath that you face, know that you're facing it because God has confidence in you, and that through facing that giant, more people will know that there is a God. Nobody said amen. Because you're thinking more about the Goliath than about the name of God. You see? You're more worried about your name than God's name. David wasn't worried about himself. He wasn't worried about his brothers. He wasn't even worried about the Israelite army or King Saul. He was upset about the fact that God was being talked about in a negative way. David wanted God to get the glory because he knew how real God is and how powerful God is, and that everybody needs to know that. So please fight this battle by knowing that God should receive the glory. Today, what people are going to know is that God is. All those gathered here will know that it's not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's. Say that with me this morning. The battle is the Lord's. Look at your Goliath today, and in your heart say, the battle is the Lord's. And he will give all of you into our hands. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him. Now, it doesn't mean the Philistine's just going to give up and go away. You're Goliath. Occasionally it happens that way. But most of the time, when you take a stand of faith, old Goliath moves closer. Right? It says, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. It's only one thing to do with Goliath. You got to meet it head on. Just meet it head on. Right? With God's strength. Every day. And reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. And the stone sank into his forehead and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. And without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. Wow. Got a Goliath battle today? Face it head on. Know that God is on your side. Well, there's more to that verse, but I want to skip ahead to Deuteronomy chapter 20. It says this, when you go to war against your enemies and see horses and chariots and an army greater than yours, do not be afraid of them, because the Lord your God, who brought you up out of Egypt, will be with you. When you are about to go into battle, the priest shall come forward and address the army. He shall say, hear, Israel, today you are going into battle against your enemies. Do not be faint-hearted or afraid. Do not panic or be terrified by them. Why? For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you victory. It's not you. It's not you. Cast that fear aside by knowing that God goes with you to fight for you to give you victory over your enemies. Let me close real quickly with this last one today. And it's the battle of disappointment. The battle of disappointment. So you would think, wow, win the Goliath battle, I'm good for the rest of my life. If only that were true. Right? How many remember David had more than one stone in his pouch, right? Some people say it's because Goliath had brothers. Yeah, I believe that when we face a Goliath, that doesn't mean it's the last time we're going to face a Goliath. How many of you have faced more than one Goliath in your Christian life so far? Raise your hand, real high. See that? Yeah. Yeah. Well, you'd think, wow, I defeat Goliath, and I should be able to coast. Well, there's more battles coming. We'll see some more next week, but I do want to talk about this battle of disappointment. 1 Samuel chapter 16, real quickly, one of the servants answered, I have seen the son of Jesse, Bethlehem, and knows how to play the lyre. This is before he fights Goliath. He's a brave man and a warrior. He speaks well. He's a fine-looking young man. The Lord is with him. And then Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, send me your son David, who is with the sheep. So Jesse took a donkey, loaded with bread, a skin, and wine, and young goat, and sent them with his son David to Saul. David came to Saul and entered into his service, and Saul liked him very much. And David became one of his armor bearers, and Saul sent word to Jesse saying, allow David to remain in my service, for I am pleased with him. Oh, wow, that sounds great. That's a glowing recommendation. And even Saul says, I'm pleased with him. I want him here. He fights Goliath. He wins the battle of Goliath. Now I'm going to summarize. You can go read in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 1 through 19. What follows, what immediately follows this battle with Goliath. Basically, David enters into the service of Saul now as a warrior, and he is being successful. Everything that he does, he is winning. And when he comes back from those battles, what are the people saying? They're saying, look, look, Saul has slain his thousands, David his tens of thousands. And Saul begins to get to him, and he gets jealous and angry. He even takes a spear and launches it at David and tries to kill him. But one of the things that happened is Saul has this daughter David was interested in. And it says that she was going to be given to David. But what happened, it says, when the time came for Merib, Saul's daughter, to be given to David, she was given in marriage to Adriel of Mahola. So I want to talk about disappointment just really quickly. What happened was he was supposed to receive this reward, and it was taken from him. What do you do when disappointment sets in? Well, I just want to share this thought with you as we close. There's one thing you can be certain of. Things will change for you at some point. What you expected will not come to pass, and disappointment will set in. Change will happen. What you expected to come to pass won't, and disappointment will set in. And there's another battle that you have to fight. Well, let me just give you one verse. Matthew 10, 29 through 31. Remind yourself of this when things change, when disappointment comes. Remind yourself of this. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside of your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. When disappointment comes, would you be reminded that it didn't happen without God knowing about it? This passage in Matthew says that not even a sparrow can fall to the ground without God knowing about it. And God cares for you a whole lot more. He knows. He knows. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. So he says, don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. So if you're facing disappointment this morning, I want to encourage you. You're worth more than many sparrows. God knew that promise to David would not be fulfilled. And David just had to keep trusting that God had something better in store for him. And God does today, friends. If you're disappointed this morning, look up, because God's got something in store for you. If you keep reading the story in 1 Samuel, you know that this daughter was taken from him, but it didn't take long. Saul had another daughter, and David won her hand and received her in marriage. So as we stand to pray this morning, I just want to encourage you, whatever battle you're facing, God is your warrior. He's counted you worthy. He's watching over you. Go ahead and stand. Some of you did it. He's watching over you. Do not be afraid, because you're worth more than many sparrows. Father, thank you this morning. Again, on this weekend before we celebrate Thanksgiving, may we be reminded that the most grateful thing that we have in our lives is you, and what you have done and what you continue to do for us every day. Thank you for giving us victory in these battles. I want to pray, Lord, for those who are facing Goliaths today. I want to pray for those who are fighting disappointment. I want to pray for those who are hearing words of disdain from the enemy. Lord, that you would encourage them this morning. They are not alone. You are fighting on their behalf. You have created and fashioned and formed them to be warriors for your kingdom. Go before them, I pray, and remind them of their worth because of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. We give you all the praise in his wonderful name. And everybody said, amen. 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 God bless you this morning. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving week. Love for you to join us to wrap.